I'm John from Unqualified Gamers. Hello, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And get ready, because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are listening to the Starling Tribune, a podcast dedicated to the Arrow TV show.
This guy gets more airtime than the Kardashians, right?
This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, CTV, or DC Comics. All characters, situations, and stories are the properties of Time Warner. I am the Oracle, and this is your Tribune.
And your reporters for this third episode of Season 4 of the Starling Tribune. I am Stargate Pioneer. My friends call me SP. And with me are Chris.
Does that qualify as being normal?
And Neil.
They were metahuman tattoo playing cards.
And I am SP. Feels like old times. Just the three of us. Hey, this podcast is recorded on Thursday, October 22nd, 2015, live on the Blob streaming service. We are just a few guys that like to discuss the TV show Arrow. Just a little reminder that I'm not a comic expert. No, I like sci-fi, and sci-fi kind of sucks these days because they canceled a couple shows, but we won't get into that. But I'm catching up with the comic lore of DC with thanks to experts like Chris.
I like comics. Comics.
Star Wars. And Neil.
I read way too many comics.
No, seriously, he does.
I have documented proof on 16 different podcasts. During this podcast, we'll be talking about what happened in this week's episode of Arrow, as well as news, articles, announcements that could impact future episodes. Obviously, it's going to contain spoilers. You have been warned. And if you want to catch up with any of our archive of season 1, season 2, or season 3 shows, go check our archive at GunnaGeekNetwork.com. And this week, of course, we watched Restoration. Neil, tell us what you know about it.
So, Restoration, directed by some of the usual crew that we've seen a few times before, and a couple of new faces. So, director Wendy Stansler this week, she has directed a whole bunch of great episodes of Arrow, including This Is Your Sword, one of my personal favorites, Sarah, Heir to the Demon, and League of Assassins. So if you think you see a trend in some of the episodes that she's directed, they all have League of Assassins and Roz and Nyssa as primary characters, which is kind of in line with what we got this week. So quite happy about that. I love the writers this week. The writers were Wendy Miracle, executive producer, who we see a lot of these days, and Speed Weed.
There's a stage name for you.
I don't know if that's a screen name or his parents were, you know, but
It could just be a stage name. There's a guy that does a lot of cartoons. His stage name, I guess, is Man of Action that he appears in all the credits at.
Speed has actually been a co-producer on Arrow for 23 episodes. He's also written the Brotherhood episode, which is coming up, written a bunch of episodes of Haven, Law and Order SVU, NCIS. So he's got some solid cred to his name. Just love the name.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet.
Unlike this week's S.H.I.E.L.D. writer, which I actually went online and over again had a computer tell me how to say the last name, Bashevsky or something like that. It was bad. It was horrible. Horrible. SP will always get a name wrong. Always. And Speedweed is easy. I like it. I'm glad that they're involved because it was a good continuation of all the stories going on, and except for, and we'll talk about it later, but the mayor race, but everything else was continued. It was really cool.
You know, I love Nyssa and the whole League of Assassins. Nyssa is one of my favorite supporting characters, and to get her back, you're right, SP, it tied up a lot of loose ends from last season's, you know, what's going with the League, what's going on with the new Roz. It was good to go back to Nanda Parbat.
It was good to remember how evil Malcolm Merlyn can be.
And Nyssa's not sparring.
She's going to take his head off.
I know.
That was an awesome scene.
So, okay, going back to the beginning in the woodmill where all the logs are and stuff, I have a question for you guys. Why did that one ghost let Diggle live?
I have no idea. I was literally rewatching it with the girlfriend before I came down here. And she goes, why is he still alive? I said, I don't know. The script said so.
I have an idea.
Fan theory.
Yes. I haven't read anything about it, but my theory, SP's theory, which might be the same as anything else that's on the internet, is he saw who was in the mask, and it was Andy.
Wait, so you're saying that Diggle's identity concealment device doesn't work very well?
Now, when the thing is up, and that's what you have to say, it's his brother, man! It's his brother!
But didn't they do a funeral for him and everything? One would assume there was a body there.
There was a Lazarus pit working back then, now wasn't there?
Man, the Lazarus Pit's such a MacGuffin.
No, but no more. But think about it. When they said they were doing the analysis of the DNA in the teeth, it wasn't a complete DNA set. So they could be growing people. So maybe they used some of Andy's DNA to grow him, huh?
Or the other thing might be that Damian Dark has standing orders to leave Team Arrow to him eventually, just to kind of screw with them until he's ready to actually take them out.
No, because he's hiring everybody to take them out. He wants to take them out, and he just can't. I disagree with you on that, Chris, but good try. Good try, sir.
My headcanon beats your headcanon.
You know, and that's what I was thinking. Damian is more than capable of taking these guys out. I was thinking about that while I was watching the episode. So, Chris, it does have some merit. I was just messing with you a little bit. If Damian does want to take them out himself, I think he can do it at this point. He almost did before.
I think he might be playing some kind of game. I'm not sure what it is.
Maybe we should talk about Damian in this one. Killing the other member of Hive with the card to demonstrate his power.
Oh, that was so cool.
That was awesome.
What a magic card trick, too.
I'm like, oh. Everyone just thinks they're parlor tricks.
I didn't think he was going to do it. I thought he was going to just demonstrate to her, like, go around her head or something. Like, nope, right to the throat. Ugh.
Oh, no, she was going to be dead because that's just when Ollie and Diggle were starting to get back on the same page to go after her. I was like, so they can't get answers. She's going to die. And then she goes out in an awesome way. And then I loved how they transitioned into Malcolm being dad of the year and proving how evil he still is right after that. You get two awesome evil scenes back to back with two different kinds of evil.
Some nice dadly advice there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just kill him.
We got to find someone for you to kill.
Right, here, have some of my minions. They can die.
Yeah.
There's your difference in the good across the streams in your comic book TV shows, right? Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Coulson, dad figure. Arrow, Malcolm, Merlin. Anti-dad figure right there. Just boom.
He's just a bad dad figure.
Okay. No, guys, the timing is even better because this week's Flash, which neither of you have seen,
was no spoilers.
All about dads. All about dads. No, that's not a spoiler. No, you're fine. You're fine. Yeah. And then we get an Arrow episode right after it, all about dads as well. So, you know, I think they probably talk about how they're going to line up these episodes just to make sure that we hit a series of themes throughout the season. And it's nice when they line up like that.
Yep. Okay. So Felicity, computer whiz, right? And yes, granted, some cranes do have remote control capability. Not all of them do, though. I guess I'm just going to have to make that leap that she's able to remote in to the crane, which may or may not have remote control capability.
The first thing I thought was, well, I guess they are putting Wi-Fi in everything today.
They do. They make those cranes with remote controls. Have you seen it yet, Chris?
No.
Oh, yeah.
I want one.
It's a big panel. You take your keyboard, right? And then, like, quadruple the size. And it's got a big joystick on it and everything. And, yes, you can make... But it's, like, I don't know, $10,000, $20,000,
$30,000. What is it? Show Your Keyboard Day on Sterling Tribune?
I'm trying to just put a thought in my head as to how big quadruple-sized keyboard would be.
For the listener there, I had just held up my keyboard to the camera and then Chris quizzically held up his keyboard like, what? I go get that. Okay. Well, I'd hold up my...
I was trying to stretch it out like visually for myself and I was like, that's twice as large. So if you double that, then it's like that. I was like, damn, that's a big keyboard.
And it's thick and it... rides on your shoulders with a strap and everything, and it's just a flat thing right in front of you. So yeah, they do make them remote control, so it is possible. However, not all of them are like that. It is an additional expense for these things. So
she was lucky she found one with Wi-Fi. How about that?
Obviously. And then that thing's moving pretty quick because she boxed the ghosts in at both ends, like boom and boom. Cranes don't move that fast. No, they just don't. Not when you're lifting and dropping. It doesn't happen.
We're lucky it was a super new fancy crane with Wi-Fi.
It was in the script. That's all. It's a script concession.
It was Cisco'd, right?
It moves at the speed of plot.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not inaccurate.
Can Felicity make up her mind? Dental hygienist, molecular biologist? I mean, that's a slightly different level of career. SP,
Felicity can be whatever she wants.
She can.
I'm okay with it.
So said we all.
So say we all.
Ollie's a lucky guy. What is it tonight, Eddie? All right.
Mayor Queen, we assume, even though we get nothing on Mayor Queen.
There's no Mayor Queen this episode. What happened?
No something idea. Something had
to drop to make this episode work. There was a lot going on, so I think the seeds of a campaign was something easy. Just be like, yeah, we'll touch on that next week. This was a day in the life of episode. It only took place over like a half a day time span, I think.
Oh, now I get it. So Ollie's surprise at the end, secret/surprise of the lair, is a new lair at the bottom of City Hall. That's where the new quiver is, the new lair, the new cave, whatever you want to call it. He's been working it the whole time. And before he announces that he's running for mayor, he's got to make the lair underneath there.
Are we going to talk lair now?
Why not?
Yeah. All right. Very cool that it's in, what is it, Palmer Tech, the former Queen Consolidated. Hang on. I've got a problem with this.
I do too.
Slight.
They hop in the elevator. They go down to this floor that nobody knows about. And literally seconds later, Double Down arrives via the stairs.
I have an easy answer for that.
You don't need a super secret elevator if you can just take the stairs down to it in the same amount of time. It was like the floor right below them.
It happened this way, though. I mean, we know Double Down is a meta from Central City. So evidently, Zoom had to be involved somehow. So Zoom just helped him out, zipped him down the steps. Zoom. Yeah, it's just a setup behind the scenes. And I'm totally talking out my butt right now.
I'm just like, dude, where did this come from?
We have speedsters in Star City left and right this season just to make some of this stuff happen.
That's how they get to Nanda Parbat so quick. Speedsters.
That's right.
We've talked about this before.
Yes, we have. Nice pull, sir. Nice pull. Just like Felicity's nice pull of the Marikur soldiers. That was good. That was nice. That was all. Yeah. I was like, oh, she did that. She said it. She said the thing.
I know what she did there. I get this.
I get that reference.
Thank you, Cap. Thank you, Cap.
And then right after that, we get a little Felicity spray and pray.
Oh, my gosh. There is no kickback on that gun whatsoever. I mean, I get that she's just, like, waving it around, but it should be lifting as, you know, if she doesn't have a good hold on it. And even soldiers out there have a problem with this. That's why one of the reasons why you just double tap or do a 3-bullet spread or whatever. That gun should be shooting the ceiling. And it does. She does raise it as she's going along, but it's not as she's shooting. It's like the next shot is higher. The next shot is higher. But yeah, there's no recoil on that gun. Totally unbelievable.
Well, just like there's no arrows actually on set.
Oh, it's a CGI gun. Is that what you're saying? They could have done so much better if it was a CGI gun.
Well, I think we can all agree, regardless of whether or not there was recoil, Felicity kicked in this episode. And that was awesome. We needed more Felicity kicking it.
In more ways than one, not just in that physical way, but just in the way she's kind of found her own spot now. She's kind of found that nice balance of being the Oracle of Team Arrow. She still needs a code name. And also running Palmer Tech and trying to be CEO Felicity at the same time. It's a very nice combination of effects there. And that's really cool to see someone who was just like a minor bit character in season one develop into something like this. Adam brings up a good point. And in the way she tore into Dig and Ollie also.
Yes. Totally agree.
She did. Totally did. And did you see Ollie's face when she said, yeah, I took care of it? And Ollie's like, really? And, you know, I almost got my butt handed to me by this guy. And you just took care of it?
I got stabbed by this guy. Real quick aside, maybe that's why you need sleeves on your costume. We see him get shot in the costume, holds the card out, doesn't cut him up. So he conveniently takes a card in that nice little seam between his shoulder pad and his arm pads and gets a card stuck in him. I was like, huh, maybe you need sleeves again. Maybe I'm being a nitpicker.
Next season, sleeves. Sleeves are in.
Hashtag bring back sleeves. Let's start it now.
I wonder how many times he's going to get nicked in the arm this season before they're like, well, we need to go back to the full armor.
Well, to be fair, we're not getting any shirtless Ollie again on a regular basis. So what they're showing you is Ollie biceps. On Instagram and Facebook, he was doing his muscle up challenge again, and the man's got pipes. So you might as well show him off.
He does.
So there's Diggle too. He keeps wearing that short sleeve black t-shirt. So like his biceps are just ginormous underneath the cuff of that. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, how much iron do these guys lift each day? It's got to be a ton.
I'm going back in the gym. I got hurt, by the way, and I have been out of the gym for a couple of weeks. I'm going back on Monday and I'm like, Oh, it's gonna hurt. Oh, this is gonna hurt so much. I'm gonna have to drop down in weight. That's gonna hurt me mentally. It's like, oh, yeah. Ollie can do it. Why can't I? Well, because I'm like 30 years older than Ollie, but anyway.
And you're not a superhero.
I'm totally a super. You take that back, sir. I grew this beard in like a week. I'm good.
You're
to go.
The director of SNASA. You're not a superhero.
That too.
So aside from the gym, what about Mr. Terrific and the T-sphere? I was like grabbing my wife, shaking her. I was like, that's a T-sphere. That's a T-sphere. Oh,
I was like, oh my God, it's so cool. He goes, but they have a habit of exploding. And I was
spontaneously.
Like, oh, so cool.
Oh, and since we're going to talk the lab here, Felicity's phone, you know, that's totally Ray. Totally Ray. Like, Felicity, hey, I'm here. He's just trying to say, hey, I'm here. That's all that is.
So is he in the phone or is he using something in the building to transmit to the phone? What do you guys think?
He's still in the building because it only happens when she's at Palmer Tech.
Right. That's the thought I had too, is that he's just trapped in the building in miniature size.
Mm-hmm. Beforehand, she had restarted the phone every time that Ray was trying to hack it. And so it never got to the Felicity thing. And then this time she just didn't reboot her phone and Ray was able to get in there.
It's nice to see them putting together the Legends of Tomorrow already, starting with this episode. You've got Ray gradually coming back. We've got at least the body of Sarah back.
Yeah, it's coming together.
Yeah, that was awesome.
It's all connected.
Let's talk Lazarus Pit, guys, talking about bringing Sarah back.
I like the red Kool-Aid. I got some right here.
I love just the little, using it as a little post-sparring match salve on his neck. Like, oh yeah, you got me. A little Lazarus water, and I think we're good. A little shaving Nick over here. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was funny.
I think it's just a different way in which Malcolm treats it than the Raish that we met last season does, who was...
Pisses Nyssa off. So much pisses her off.
That's part of it, too. I think he's just screwing with her by doing that, because he enjoys riling her up and fighting her. It's Malcolm. He's twisted and weird. He likes to make people really angry, because he likes to get the reaction.
And that's fair, yes. And then he knows that, you know, the rest of his soldiers, they'll just give him a little Lazarus Pit bath if she goes over the top too far, so why not?
Unless she takes his head off like she threatened.
I didn't think about that. When Thea killed those guys, Malcolm could have just thrown them in the pit.
But I don't think that's given to minions.
No, they're disposable henchmen.
Yeah.
Blue Nissan Stanza! You just said henchmen, so I had to go Venture Brothers.
No, and it's the inverse ninja rule. You know, he's got too many ninjas. He'll actually become more effective as he thins the herd, so.
Right. So, did you see that leap from Sarah from the Lazarus Pit? Like,
Thea had a similar one.
Yeah, she did the same thing.
I know, but then she's like totally going after Thea. I'm like, oh, this is going to happen. I said it. She's going to kill Thea. She wants to.
Well, and Cage and Sean brings up a point we didn't touch on when they first bring in Laurel and Thea to walk in on the fight between Malcolm and Nyssa. Nyssa looks at Thea and goes, hello, sister-in-law. So the marriage is still potentially valid, or she's just...
I still say, I think there's a bun in the oven there. Oh.
I don't think the marriage was consummated. I still believe that.
All right. I believe that too, but I just like riling everybody up on
if
that.
If it never was, I'm never going to forgive him.
It was nice to go back to Nanda Parbat. It was nice to see what's happening there. And Thea, I think, is right to question Laurel here. Because
everyone questions Laurel. Laurel is the most selfish character in this show this week. Everyone says, you should not bring her back. This is a terrible idea. Let her soul rest. Even Malcolm's like, this is a terrible idea. Malcolm, who is generally like, oh, let's just do it. I don't care. We'll see what the consequences are. It doesn't matter. Everyone tells her, don't do this. And she's like, well, I'm going to do it. It makes her, everyone's grieving, accepted it. And she's just like, I'm going to do whatever the hell I want, even though everyone's telling me not to. And she's like, oh, yeah. And Dad's going to be happy she's back. No, he's going to be destroyed that she's back.
She's not the same. Not the same.
And if you think about it, at the beginning of the episode, they showed how much Nyssa and Merlin really dislike each other. Well, okay, it showed how much Nyssa dislikes Merlin. Merlin was getting a kick out of it. But then later, they're in perfect agreement about not using the pit on Sarah. So people who obviously don't get together, sharing an opinion. Laurel, bad idea.
They share the same opinion, but for different reasons, and they're both valid.
Yes.
That's what kills me, is that everyone's like, you should not do this, and she keeps going, oh, I've got to do it. It's infuriating. And I'd started to come around on this character, but something like this, I'm just like, you're not making the character likable at all. Everyone says, don't do this. It's a terrible idea. Don't do it. And it's just selfish.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this morning. I literally went on my Facebook. I said, hey, guys, Laurel is literally the worst character on Arrow still. And within an hour, I had like 8 likes. So I'm not alone. There's other people that are going, what the hell? And I assume they'll find some way to clean it up. Because outside of this, I was actually starting to turn around on the character. But this just, it smacks of, just terribleness to me. The character, not necessarily how they wrote it, but just how that character's motivations.
So you get Constantine in there, and you get him doing some head stuff. The sage, right, that Malcolm's talking about, that he didn't know exists or whatever, it comes in to fix him. I think that's the only way it proceeds. Because if not that, how is Sarah even going to be useful in Legends of Tomorrow? She needs to get fixed.
Did you watch the preview for next week's episode?
Yes.
Okay, I think Damian could potentially be the one that is responsible for getting her back to being sane, and then Constantine is the one that tries to determine how he did it and make sure there's no repercussions.
Could be.
I think that's what they were hinting at happening.
Yeah. And then, of course, in the preview, Oliver sees Damian talking to Quentin, so...
Yeah, they're moving fast on some of that stuff. Like, I'm surprised how quick in this episode they resolved Oliver and Diggle's issues, and how quick in this season they're going to reveal the fact that Lance is working with Damian Dark. I figured that would be, like, mid-season. So for it to be happening in episode 4, I was like, whoa.
Maybe there's going to be a lot of speculation in the off-season when Legends of Tomorrow is running, but this is setting themselves up for an incredible back half of the season. If all this stuff is happening so quickly in the first half, we have no clue what's going to happen in the second half. So I'm liking it so far. If they can keep the pace up, Greg Berlanti and Wendy Miracle and Mark Guggenheim.
So Theta VJ in the chat room is asking us, what might be the reasoning behind Lance working with Damian? We sort of talked about that some in the past, but I think part of it is still that he's threatened his daughter. His living daughter is part of the reason he wants to do it. And I think another part of it might have been he truly thought that Damian might be able to fix the city and then saw how messed up his plan was and can't get out now.
Right. It was the only option available, especially since Ollie left the city and he was trying to do the best that he could. But yeah, once all the council members or whatever, the city leadership or whatever died, he knew he made a mistake, but he knew he was trapped and there was nothing he can do about it. Although he did try to go toe-to-toe with Damian, and in true cop fashion, because, you know, they got the attitudes that they can deal with anybody. Yeah, apparently you can't deal with Damian. I'm surprised he let him live. Why did Damian let Quentin live? Because he's killed everybody else off.
He still needs him for something. I just don't know what.
Oh, it's nice to have the head of the police in your back pocket. I think he knows that's a resource.
Yeah, but so you kill him and you get somebody else. I guess just something that he didn't want to deal with? I don't know.
Paul Blackthorne's still under contract? I don't know.
Right.
We can't kill him yet. Jay would be very upset. You got to wait until he gets put in the grave 6 months from now.
Right, and there's no Lazarus pit either.
Nope, that's it. The MacGuffin is gone.
Or is there? Because someone in the chat room had said earlier, didn't Damian Dark take a sample of the Lazarus pit with him or something like that when he left the League of Assassins?
Well, and if you dig into DC lore, there are other Lazarus pits around. If you go into Arkham City and actually the latest run of Batman post-Convergence or leading up to Convergence, both the comics and the video games put a Lazarus pit under Gotham. So, we know there are more than one Lazarus pit.
Yeah.
Just because that one's closed doesn't mean there aren't others. And I mean, it's pretty cool that Roz had a contingency plan on how to take care of it. And Nyssa, I kind of thought she would do it before they tried to resurrect Sarah. I was kind of surprised that that was the straw. I mean, she had to know it was going to happen. She was there hearing when everyone started to change their minds.
She's very much into the lore of the League, right? And Roz is Malcolm right now. And she wanted to treat him like the leader that she is, and he just failed, and so she took matters into her own hands, and until she kills him, and she becomes Roz.
Well, see, I don't think she respects him at all as a leader.
No, not at all.
It's like respecting the rank and not the individual. It happens in the military all the time. And we saw it in Band of Brothers, right? With what's-his-name from Friends.
Yeah, point taken.
Okay, so original Team Arrow back together again. So cool.
Good to see.
Right?
OTA, baby.
OTA, and OG was mentioned as well.
Yeah. What do we think of the Freak of the Week this week? And really, they have gone Freak of the Week in the last couple of weeks. A double down on a scale of, you know, 10 being super awesome weekly villain to 1 being who, what? I don't remember this guy next episode. 4 SP?
SP's at a 4. It was cool the way, you know, he could take those cards off and that they were killing machines and everything. But at the end of the day, he's easily defeated.
Yeah, the Captain Boomerang fight was better last season.
Oh, totally.
I think he was more challenging for Oliver. I don't know. I'd give it a 5, just literally middle of the pack. It's nothing special, but it serves the need of being a slightly more powerful than normal nemesis for them.
You know what? 4 or 5. Call me noncommittal. I'm flip-flopping. But he was around there. 4, 5. No, 4. How about a 4.5?
He's pulling a Big Papa right now.
Totally.
Yeah. And Cajun Sean is agreeing with USP in the chat room. He's saying 4. I don't think at the end of the season we're going to look back on Double Down as a memorable villain. But fun nonetheless.
I think it would be cool if he showed up on Flash later in the season, just so you can continue having those nice connections between the two shows. Have him break out of Iron Heights and the Flash has to go capture him or something.
There's so much bigger stuff happening in...
Well, I'm not saying make it a big piece, but it could be you open the show and be like, hey, we had a breakout, and some kind of nice little aside like that that's a call out to, hey, if you've been watching Arrow, you might remember this guy.
Yeah, because you can't disarm him, right? He could take those off any time. There's no way to get rid of his weapons. Huh.
You make him wear mittens.
Yeah, the ones that are just like this. So he's like,
exactly. No! Yeah. I've got a pair of those silicone oven mitts. You can't grab anything with those. Try peeling off a playing card with that.
Little sock puppets. So he has to he has to perform every night after dinner. At the
When I was a kid, I had gloves that were sharks, and this was the shark mouth. That's all I can picture him is wearing those gloves like that.
He is going to be somebody's girlfriend in Iron Heights if they make him wear sock puppets on his
hands. Double Down, you're kind of cute.
Oh, moving right along.
Awkward transition because I don't know how to do anything differently on this one.
So, yeah, awkward transition to the awkward island, which is like, okay, it's really cool to see... I can't remember his name. Brad from Continuum. He's on Sanctuary. Oh, what's his name?
I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. I got it.
Evil
Hold
Mercenary
on
number 7.
Ryan Robbins is what Adam says in the
chat.
Right.
It was awesome to see him. He's played a good guy. He plays a bad guy. He's played in between. He's got a lot of range, and he's been on a lot of sci-fi. And it's good to see him, but at the same time, you totally know Oliver is going to take him down eventually.
And the main thing, the island this week was just set up. It's just set up for more. It was a nice bridging chunk of stuff for the next episode.
Predictions, where is he taking the lady?
Either the cave that Yao Fei took him to when he first got marooned there for safety, or the burnt out hulk of the airplane.
I'm going cave.
Cave.
So, didn't we trap somebody in the cave at some point and leave them there? Thinking back to season 1?
Yes, we did.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going to put you in, oh, don't mind them.
Well, they're skeletons now.
Oops, I forgot
about
him.
Yeah. So maybe the plane.
I can't remember where the sub was left. Did it sink in the harbor there? It must have sunk.
The Russians took it back to Russia.
Yeah, the Russians took it. That's how they got away.
I think they're going to go back to plane because I think it's an easier set to work with.
Yeah, I think that's probably a legitimate reason why the plane's going to happen is because set work is a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And there might still be supplies here and there. I know it was burned out, bombed, whatever, but stuff survives. So I don't know. All right. And maybe the radio that he was working on in season 1.
Hey, guys, I was an airplane maintenance guy. I can make this radio work.
Nice callback, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
My favorite part of the island this week, for a second week in a row, no bad flashback wig.
Oh, my God. Stephen Amell has to be so happy that he can just have his regular hair.
And I actually took note of that. Sorry, this is the Starling City hair report. I love that he had his normal haircut and not the wig. It was... the highlight of the island for me. Mind-blowing up, cool. Knowing that it's some hybrid, genetically modified cocoa poppy drug. Cool.
Slam.
Slam. Yes. Mm-hmm. Ollie torturing the guy with the knife in the leg. I was going to say cool, but I'm not sure if that's appropriate. But all right, interesting.
It's interesting in regards to he saved the guy's life. It shows him trying to toe that line of trying to fit in and trying to save lives at the same time. Because if you go to the Oliver of like season 1, he'd have totally killed him.
So that means in next year's flashback or something later in this year, we have to regress. Because remember, we have to come back to season 1 Ollie. We have to come back to the guy that was willing to do anything.
Right. And how I think that might start to happen is all these innocents on the island are going to get killed and he'll blame himself because he won't be the one that did it. But they'll get killed in the crossfire or they'll get killed by the guys that are responsible for all that farming. And he'll feel as though he's let them all down, and the thing that's going to trump it all is the lady he's leading away to safety. She's going to die, and she's going to be his love interest on the island right there. So there's another person that loves Oliver Queen that dies, that sets him off.
So do you think he's going to stay on the island, or do you think he's leaving for a brief period of time before he comes back?
He got like a year and a half, 2 years until he's supposed to get rescued, and he has to grow a giant beard and long hair. I think he's staying on the island from this point.
And learn Russian and get into the Bratva. Yeah.
He's got to leave the island then.
He's got to leave the island one more time.
The beard can be grown in the off season between season 5 and 6. So
it
I'm not worried
about that. It takes a long time to grow a beard that's like this long, though.
Not if you're me.
Yeah, much like SP, that's a superpower.
I forgot about SP's mutant power.
Yeah. That and the eyebrows. Yeah, or not the eyebrows, the eyelashes. I actually have a genetic defect with my eyebrows. I have a double row. So women everywhere hate me. They're like, no, you don't. Yes, I do. And it's a pain, too, because they're long and they're bushy and they go against the glasses. So it's not the panacea that you might think it is.
And this has been the Star City Hair Report with the cast of the Starling Tribune podcast.
It's the Star City Beard Report.
Nah.
That's what we started last time, the Beard Report.
But you were talking about other hair. It doesn't work then.
Eyebrows and, yeah.
The attack eyebrows, yeah. I'll take a card for you guys. I'll do that. Like, oh, you took a bullet for me. No, it was like a meta human playing ink card tattoo thing. It's a bullet. It works for me. So
did anyone else think Oliver was getting shot this episode when Dig was like, there was a time when I had to take a bullet for you. I was like, Oliver's totally getting shot.
Well, if Felicity's spraying and praying, there's more than a chance if you're in front of her.
That's true.
You guys have anything else for the episode?
I think I'm good.
Chris?
I can't wait to see what happens next week with some Mare Queen stuff.
That's true. We have a lot of great stuff coming up next week. And just a reminder, if you want to hang on until after the credits, we will open up the seat. The Starling Tribune logo will go bye-bye, and we will offer your comments in. In the meantime, we have some news. And the first thing that we're going to talk about is... Oh, there is one last thing I wanted to talk about the episode. The double choreography fight between Diggle on the catwalk...
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
And just the way it was done, we talked about it before. The choreography on this show is great. And the way they shoot multiple fights at the same time is great. Okay. So anyway, apparently there's a video behind the scenes on the premiere stunts.
Yeah, this is something the CW is really good at, especially with Arrow. We've talked about it before. Bam Bam, the story choreographer, James Bamford, who's going to be directing, I believe it's episode 7 coming up, his first time actually behind the camera. But I love it when the CW throws these videos on YouTube. It's in the show notes, folks. Go take a look at how they choreographed the season premiere stunts. We talked about how epic those fights were. It's a thing of beauty.
It sure is. Another thing of beauty, everybody's been waiting for this for quite some time. Constantine is coming to Arrow.
That's true.
Yeah.
And it's going to be in the episode called Haunted, right?
That's right, and they did finally put the official synopsis out for Haunted, like typically what you'd see in your DVR and stuff like that when you're scheduling. So the short 3-4 sentence description, they say, as Matt Ryan reprises his role as John Constantine on Arrow. When things take a turn for the worse with Sarah, Oliver calls in a favor from an old friend who deals in the mystical, John Constantine. John Badham directed this episode, written by Brian Ford Sullivan and Oscar Balderrama. The original air date will be November 4th. 2015.
2 weeks. So we have another episode before we get to that one. He might actually show up at the end of the next episode. You never know, because they did say he was going to show up in the 4th episode.
That'd be cool.
Week after is episode 5. So we'll see. We'll see there. And then, oh, I didn't know this. Damian Dark is going to appear in both Flash and Legends of Tomorrow. Nice.
I saw that news hit and I was like, this is glorious.
Yeah. Nice. And if you read the article, it's really interesting because he's playing a younger Damian Dark back in. They're shooting it as if it was 1975. So I'm sure our hair report's going to come back for that episode. And so is our bell bottom and our broad collared shirts. Yeah, McDonough is saying that he's playing a younger, less confident Damian Dark that doesn't look exactly the same, but it should be exciting. So yeah, bring it on.
Yeah, I can't wait. And give me more Neil McDonough as Damian Dark, and I'm a happy man at this point, guys. He's fantastic in the role.
I love him. I like him better as a good guy, but he plays such a great bad guy. It's great. Really enjoy that.
I'm going back to the card trick from this episode. That was a thing of beauty.
Moving on, John Barrowman has his say on Malcolm and Lazarus, buddies forever.
This interview came out before this episode hit, so we didn't know. And what Barrowman was saying is like, listen, the complicated relationship that we're going to see between Malcolm as Roz and the Lazarus Pit is going to change going forward. Yeah, change? Yeah, it's gone.
Yeah.
Done.
Totally nailed that.
It's just a whirlpool now. Just a hot tub. That's all it is.
It's the spa at Nanda Parbat.
Yeah, exactly.
They were having their spa day. That's right. There you go. And I think Wendy Miracle has actually had her take on every single episode, including the preseason so far. And I'm glad to see that continues with her talking about restoration.
Yeah, again, the CW put out, and you called it SP, she's doing a little video synopsis. I think the fact that they have another dedicated executive producer on the show now, especially how busy the rest of the executive producing team is with Flash, with Supergirl, with Legends of Tomorrow getting it off the ground, with Mark Guggenheim doing a lot of writing for both DC and for Marvel these days. Now that Wendy has been promoted to executive producer, she's able to talk about the show. She's got more say in the direction of it. And these videos are coming out on a pretty regular basis where she gets to give us some behind the scenes insight on what's driving the motivations of the characters and where we can expect to see things go. So in this video, she talks a lot about Black Canary, about Speedy, and about Malcolm. So definitely recommend following the CW on YouTube and taking a look at what Wendy has to say.
So quick question for you guys. Supergirl premieres next week, right?
Monday.
You guys going to record it? Is it on your DVR list?
Yes, it is.
It's on the DVR. I don't know if I'll watch it that night, but I will be watching it that week.
Have either of you guys seen the dropped pilot episode?
Nope.
Yeah, I have not either. So
I know people who have and said it was good, but I tend not to go and look at the ones that leak, even if it does seem like an intentional leak.
I remember The Flash last year, so that kind of leaked. And I did not see it either. So, but I appreciated the pilot when I did see it on CW. Hey, let's talk about something that's terrific.
I see what you did there.
I tried.
Echo Kellum, Mr. Terrific, he gave a great interview over at Entertainment, this week, tonight?
ET Online. Yeah, Entertainment Tonight.
Yeah. And it's actually it's a long interview. He talks about a lot of the relationships that they're developing within the show. They're talking about how he's going to interact with Felicity going forward, that, you know, he's not just the brains, that he is working out a lot for this show. You know, at CW, whether they're going to give him a shirtless scene or not, I don't know. We might actually get one.
Everyone else gets one.
I'm going to get one right now. Oh, no. Wait, not that type of
CW,
show.
CW, not the Starling Tribune, CW. But he talks about his work at Palmer Tech. They talk about some of the other shows he used to do. And he talks about how Mr. Terrific, or the character, is reacting as a member of Star City, which I thought was really cool. That if you live in Star City, you're dealing with stuff on a daily basis. Not only have you dealt with the Mirakuru wave and the League of Assassins try to take things out and the Undertaking, if you're still there, you're there for a reason.
You're there because you want to make it better.
Exactly.
You want to be mayor.
Your mortgage is now underwater. You can't afford to leave, you know, one of these things.
Could be. So we have two more news stories. They're pretty big. First of all, Robbie Amell is actually passing the Firestorm torch. If you didn't see this, I did. It was pretty cool the way he did it.
Oh, yeah. So there was a picture of him on set with the new Firestorm giving his seal of approval. It was pretty cool. I mean, I saw the preview for next week's Flash and I was like, oh, I can't wait to see this. But he has also promised that he will be back on the Flash.
He said, don't worry, guys, I will be back, but Firestorm is in good hands, so it'll be interesting to see how that all pans out, and I can't wait to see it. And then the last one, which has us kind of in a tizzy, is about Connor Hawke.
Yeah, this news broke earlier today. I think it was comicbook.com had an exclusive on this where they broke that the CW is casting either a black or biracial actor to play Ollie's son, Connor Hawke. Now, it remains up in the air whether they're going to actually make him Ollie's son. As we know, the producers lie. They have lied in the past. And in the comics, Connor Hawke is his son. And we know that Ollie has a love child out there.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be interesting. He's going to be joining Legends of Tomorrow so they can screw with the character's age. And this is something I think we've talked about multiple times on the cast, is how do you take a kid that's only 6 or 7 at this point? Maybe 9, did we agree on last time? 5 years on the island, 4 back year, at least, yeah. 9. But how do you make him an active character in this? Well, you move into the future in Legends of Tomorrow or into a different time stream, Earth 2, and you deal with a different version of the character.
I think he's going to be from a different Earth, because I just skimmed the article again real quick, and they did say they did say this iteration of Connor Hawke will not be the son of Oliver Queen and Sandra Hawke. So I'm thinking alternate Earth. Yeah, or it's just typical lies.
I think what's going to happen is Rip Hunter is going to come at the end of the season when Nyssa gives birth to Connor, and Rip is going to take Connor. And he's going to time travel, and kid's going to grow up at a different time, and then he's going to come back for Legends of Tomorrow, and that's how we get Connor Hawke. It's the love child of Nyssa and Oliver. I'm making that fanfic right now. There you go. A couple other things that gets our seal of approval, because we love the comics and we love the toys, is Black Canary number 5 came out this week. Did you get a chance to read that at all? I did not.
I'm partway through Black Canary number 5. If you've been following DC Comics following the Convergence event, where they kind of rejigged everything, Black Canary is in a band, and she is different Black Canary that you're used to, and she is balancing off the responsibilities of being a superhero and a rock star. Hey, listen, is it Spider-Gwen, or is it one of the female spider characters is also in a band? So yeah, there is a parallel across.
Wait. Anything you can do, I can do better. I can do anything better than you. That's what's happening between the two big publishers right now.
Chris, we talked about it in the off season. I mean, we made Black Canary one of the main singers of that band. It's hard not to with the voice. I mean, there you go. Well,
exactly.
Yeah. I stand corrected. I am no longer disgusted.
And then also we have Connor Hawke in a Dragon's Blood miniseries is being digitally released from 2007.
Not a lot of the old Green Arrow comics have been released digitally, or if they have been released digitally, they haven't actually come out in trade yet. This was a miniseries from 2007. It reminds me a lot of the plot behind Mortal Kombat, where there is a martial arts competition. And Friars actually sends in Connor to infiltrate this killer be killed assassins ninja competition. And he runs into Shadow while he's there. Again, very different relationship than there is in the show. But this is the first time this has actually come out digitally. And it's not a comic that you're going to find everywhere in your local comic store. So I picked it up. It is in the digital to read stack. I'll report back.
All right. Looking forward to that. And if anybody else out there wants to report on a weekly basis of DC Comics, feel free to hit me up, StargatePioneer@GunnaGeek.com. Would love to have that. We do it on the Marvel side over on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., and it's real fun. So let's get that going here. So in the meantime, we have some feedback. I have a voicemail from Adam. You guys ready to listen to it?
Let's do it.
Yep.
Hey guys, this is Adam calling in with my feedback on this week's episode of Arrow. Nice to see a fairly low-powered metahuman in Star City. People at this level, I wouldn't mind showing up fairly frequently. I just don't want any of the sort of really, really powerful ones like Weather Wizard to show up, because that would be a problem. And also, Double Down was played by the same guy who played Martouf on Stargate SG-1, so nice to see him again. I hadn't realized that Base number 2, as they called it, was basically the basement of the Queen Consolidated building. Well, excuse me, Palmer Tech building. But yeah, I guess that one didn't last all that long, but we've seen pictures of the surprise base number 3 that look pretty awesome. On to the flashbacks. Yeah, it's going pretty much the way we thought. Green Arrow year 1, which I was wrong about last week. I got that mixed up. But yeah, Oliver is definitely making use of his knowledge of the terrain, and this will be interesting to see how it goes. I was thinking he might meet Constantine in his flashbacks, and then see him in the same episode, but that doesn't seem all that likely at this point. Okay, the situation in Nanda Parbat is pretty thoroughly screwed up. Thea killing two guys and Malcolm sending them in for her to kill to relieve her stress? Yeah, that's pretty messed up. Considering what Malcolm said about the only way to permanently relieve the bloodlust, I am surprised he wanted Thea anywhere near where Sarah was being resurrected, considering that Thea was the one who killed Sarah, and Sarah wouldn't know that she wasn't acting of her own volition there. Yeah, guess we aren't going to be using the Lazarus Pit anymore unless they find another one. Can't wait to hear what you guys think. Talk to you later. Bye.
So I don't think Malcolm actually thought the Lazarus Pit was going to work.
Yeah.
I honestly don't.
just like I was saying, and then poof, like, oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah, it shocked him. It definitely did. So thank you very much, Adam. We really appreciate the email or the voicemail. We really do. And go ahead, hit us up if you're listening to the show, 612-888-CAVE or 612-888-2283. That would be awesome. We did get a couple of tweets from our pal, Cajun Sean, one of which was a great article that I just put in the chat about Constantine admitting, or David Goyer admitting Constantine should have never have been on NBC. And that's an interesting thing to note, especially on the discussion we were having on the final episode of Voices of Defiance this past week about whether sci-fi shows really can survive on sci-fi or whether they should be on a main network like NBC or whatever. So obviously Constantine didn't make it. I don't know if a property like Defiance, which is owned by NBC, would have been better or not. So it's an interesting read. Go ahead and read it. And also Constantine, Cajun Sean also hit us up with the Connor Hawk article. So thank you very much for keeping us informed, Mr. Sean. So this is a podcast on the Gunna Geek Network, as you can see by my mic flag, if you're actually watching the blab or the YouTube replay later. And if you like what you hear, we have a lot of other podcasts on the network, like Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. And this past week on episode 94, the Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D. crew talks about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a wanted, and I will say it like I did on Legends of S.H.I.E.L.D., Inhuman. So there's a lot of stuff going on. The Inhumans are wanted and on the run. Fitz gets Simon back. Oh, that is awesome. And we discuss all the nitty-gritty details. And of course, we have the awesome comic book segments by Adam and Neil. So go check that out. All right.
We're all pretty excited for next week's episode, Beyond Redemption, Season 4, Episode 4. The promo for next week is Laurel must deal with the repercussions of taking Sarah to Nanda Parbat. Meanwhile, Oliver asks Captain Lance for a favor, and while he's not surprised at the response, he is surprised at what he finds out, and I think we've kind of talked about who Ollie sees him talking with earlier on. Directed by Lexi Alexander, written by Beth Schwartz and Ben Solowitzki, airs Wednesday, October 28, 2015.
It's going to be good. It's going to be really good.
Can't wait for it. So as I mentioned before, stay tuned after the credits and we will open up the extra seat. But thank you to all the listeners. Thank you to the viewers here on Blab and YouTube. And thank you for downloading the podcasts on Spreaker or through iTunes or however you download them. We really appreciate your patronage.
Yeah, definitely. Thanks to everybody in the Blab, as SP was saying. Thank you to Cajun Sean, to Star Saber, to everybody else that's joined us this week. We really appreciate it. We've had some people jump in and out of the chat, but your comments and your live feedback gives us more to talk about as we're going through the show. So come on by and join us on Thursday nights on the Blab streaming service.
I mentioned iTunes before. Don't forget, go ahead and leave us a review on iTunes, and it would be great if you give us a 5-star review as well. But the funnier you can make them, the more likely that we will read them on the podcast and maybe give you some arrow swag if we can run across it.
We'll give you some arrow dap at the very least. But hey, these guys know what they're talking about. And if you want to get in touch with any of us, don't forget, you can contact us. Find us over at the Gunna Geek Network over at GunnaGeekNetwork.com, where you can find the forums and all of the other great shows that are on the network. If you want to share your thoughts with us on the most recent episode of Arrow, some of the news, what you think about the show, head on over to our Facebook page. Send us a tweet, or best of all, you can give us a phone call. Call us at 612-888-CAVE. That's 612-888-2283. Basically, we'd love to hear from you guys.
Yeah, send it on in. Guys, this was a great episode. I think that about wraps it up for another week. Any last words as we sign off and open up the blab to our live listeners? At Roundtable Nerds.
Lazarus.
At Stargate Pioneer.
OTA.
And I am at Neil Isn't Witty, signing out with Nisa.
This is Ben.
This was the Starling Tribune. You can leave us feedback at GunnaGeek.com or check out our archive at StarlingTribune.com. Visit GunnaGeek.com for more podcasts. Music by Kevin MacLeod can be found at Incompetech.com. This podcast is not produced or maintained by the CW, Warner Brothers Television, TV, or DC Comics. All characters, stories, and situations are the property of Time Warner. No infringement is intended. We will see you for the next episode of CW's Arrow.